Okay, good morning, everybody. Garen Erev Shabbos. Garen Erev Shabbos HaGadol. Welcome to our Shabbos Kodesh class learning. 1 week away from the Yom Tov of Pesach. Zman Chiraseinu should truly be Benisin Yigalu, Benisin Asidin Ligael. This year, we should merit the ultimate and final Geula Be'ezrat Hashem. Just a calendar announcement, please. Okay, so just in case anybody was wondering, I make sure to clarify the calendar. There is no Shir. Well, actually, it's going to be actual Yom Tov. I was going to say, I don't teach on Chol HaMoed. It's not even relevant. No one's going to come on April the 22nd, which is Yantif, which means, just for your reference, we miss April the 22nd. So our next year after today is May the 6th, Be'ezrat Hashem, following the every other week schedule, which is when we meet, since we missed the next class, which is scheduled for April the 22nd, which obviously there is no shir. That means our next year after today, Be'ezrat Hashem, we should all be well, is May the 6th, unless Halavai Mashiach comes, and then I'm not sure what will be, but barring that, we meet on May the 6th. Okay, so let us learn. So we are talking about, thank our sponsor and her family who wishes to remain anonymous. She brings Zechuyas Latova to them and the whole family for only Simchas. And Yimal Hashem Kol Mishal Aslibam Latova and Leschus of the Harbatza Satora that they are so committed to Baruch Hashem. So let us go. We are talking about elements that connect this world and the other world. So, example, Ikvasa de Mashicha, which we spoke about previously, connects two forms of different existence, before Mashiach and after Mashiach. The Beis HaMikdash connects this world and Olam Haba, Gashmius and Ruchnius. We can connect from standing on the Eretz to Shemayim through Beis HaMikdash. So Shabbos is a realm or a substance, a gift that connects the mundane to the holy. So through these different elements, Ikvasa de Mashicha, Beis HaMikdash, Shabbos Kodesh, two paradoxical elements that seem to be totally unconnected actually have a connection. So they are a bridge between two different existences. The Ikvasa de Mashicha bridges this existence with Yemos HaMashiach. Beis HaMikdash bridges earthly existence with heavenly realm. And Shabbos bridges Yemos HaChol with Yemos HaKodesh. Okay, so with that, we are on the Sefer. We are learning Nefesh Shimshon Shabbos Kodesh. We are on page 52. Okay, last time we did a piece about Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch based on Kapitel Beis from Tehillim, which of Pinchas quotes. So I'm just going to review where we are now, repeat what we learned last time. When Mashiach comes, middle of page 52, all the nations will join together to fight him, for the influence of Galus will enter the days of Mashiach. So when Mashiach comes, it will not be a easy transition because the nations of the world will fight against this new reality. In the beginning, there will be some aspects of Galus. Of course, the efforts of the nation will be in vain, like the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Yoshe Bashamayim Yishak, he who sits in heaven will laugh. All this is because Ikvasa de Mashiach is a link that enters both worlds. Ikvasa de Mashiach is a link between two worlds. Beis HaMikdash is a link between two worlds. Shabbos Kodesh is a link between two worlds. You could say that Torah is a link between two worlds. Torah transforms Beis Gashmius of Olam Haza into something magnificent. And we can access Kaviyachol, the Ribono Shel Olam, through what? Torah. Torah is also a link between our earthly self and our heavenly self. Now, let us apply this idea to the Beis HaMikdash, Shezer of Pinchas. Our world is earthly and material. This whole world is earthly and material. What was man made from? Hashem took Afar Min HaAdama. We are earthly. We are material. We are Chomer. Whereas heaven is a world of Kedusha. Heaven is a world of Seraphim Ofanim, different kinds of angels, Malachi Tzavakos. It is a world of the Kisei HaKavod, the heavenly throne of glory. It is a place of tremendous Avodas Hashem. How can we link this earthly material world with the heavenly world of Kedusha, Seraphim Ofanim, and the Kisei HaKavod? And he says that Yaakov Avinu, when he had his famous dream, he slept at the future site of the Beis HaMikdash, and he dreamt of a ladder. I'm going to screen share, and we're going to go to that chapter of Chumash right now. Okay, so that is in Sefer Bereishis, which I'm going to, Parak Chof Ches of Bereishis, when Yaakov has his famous dream, and it is a dream of a ladder. So I can't, everyone is behind their cameras, which, I mean, closed, okay? If you can't see the screen, could you post it on the chat? that you can't see for some reason. If you could see, great. So we are in Perachav Chas of Sefer Bereishis. And Yaakov has this famous dream. Okay? Vayachalom v'hinei sulam mutzav arza v'rosha magia shemayim. This is the pasuk that Rav Shimshon Pinkus is going to be speaking about. You can see. Thank you so much. Okay, good. Thank you. So he has a dream, and behold, a ladder standing on the earth, and the head reaches the heavens. V'hinei malachei elokim olam v'yordim bam. Behold, angels of God are going up and down it. V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav. And Hashem is standing upon it. He says, I'm Hashem, the God of your father Avram and the God of Yitzchak. The ground upon which you are laying to you and your children, I will give it. And your children will be like the dust of the earth, and they will burst forth to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your children, and I will be with you, and I will guard you everywhere you go. I will return you to this land, and I will not leave you until I do what I have promised. This is an unbelievable dream that Rav Pinkus here refers to. And Rav Pinkus says, he quotes, Yaakov Avinu slept at the future side of the Beis HaMikdash, that's where he was sleeping, atop Har HaMoriah, and he had a dream of a ladder. And Rav Pinkus quotes this pasuk, behold, a ladder is standing on the ground, and its head reaches to the heaven. This ladder was the Beis HaMikdash. That's what Rav Pinkus says, which I haven't seen brought down anywhere. And of course, he's sleeping at the site of the Beis HaMikdash. But Rav Pinkus says, this ladder is actually the Beis HaMikdash. What does that mean? Or you could say the precursor, the foreshadowing, the earliest form of the Beis HaMikdash. How so? Just like a ladder, through standing on one place and reaching another place, joins two different parts together. So if you stand on the ground and your ladder reaches into the attic, the ladder now connects the floor with the attic. If you need to change a light bulb, the ladder now connects the ground with the light fixture above. The ladder is a connection between two different realms. Says Rav Pinkus, the ladder is the Beis HaMikdash. Quote, part of it was in heaven, Rosh HaMagia HaShemayim, and part of it was on earth. Ahine Sula Mutzav Arza. The ladder that Yaakov dreamed of, says Rav Pinkus, links two worlds. And that is what the Beis HaMikdash does. It is a place where heaven enters our earthly world, and it is a place where our earthly world can enter heaven. So Pinkus says that not only was he sleeping at the site of the Beis HaMikdash, and not only was he dreaming at the site of the Beis HaMikdash, but the ladder itself represents the Beis HaMikdash. Just like what Pinkus has taught us, the Ikvus of the Mashiach links two different realms of existence, pre-Mashiach and Be'ezor Hashem Yimos of Mashiach. And just like the Beis HaMikdash links this world with the next world, and just like Shabbos links Yemos HaChol with Yemos HaKodesh, this ladder was a link. It was a chain. It was rungs on a ladder that link Arza with Rosh HaMagia HaShemayimah. I want to share with you an insight that I read from Rabbi Chaim Sabato in the Sefer Rest for the Dove, D-O-V-E, Rest for the Dove. And what else links two different worlds? We already said that Torah has the ability to link two different worlds. Torah links Beis Gashmias with the most exalted Ruchnias. You take a person who's Afra Min HaAdama, they could reach the highest heights. Why? Through clinging to Torah. Torah is also a ladder that connects two different opposite extremes, Gashmias with Ruchnias. So he has this unbelievable dream, and we went through the Psukim, I paraphrased them in English, but he wakes up and God makes these unbelievable promises to him. Hashem introduces himself. This is, by the way, the first time Hashem speaks to Yaakov Avinu. He introduces himself as the God of Avram, the God of Yitzchak, the land in which you are laying is holy. Your children will burst forth. Everyone will be blessed for you. I will be with you, guard you, I will not leave you. I want to develop this idea further and show you something else that has the ability to link two different worlds. Yaakov wakes up from his sleep and he says, whoa, behold, God is in this place and I did not know. And he's very afraid. How awesome is this place. So you see, he says, this is the house of Hashem. So he's aware that this ladder is the Beis Elokim. According to Pinkus, it's not that the place is the house of God, it's that the ladder itself is a precursor to the Beis HaMikdash. And if there is such a ladder, you can actually access the gateway to heaven. By climbing this ladder, you could leave your gashmistic existence and go to a ruchnistic realm. Rabbi Chaim Sabato, in his Sefer Rest for the Dove, which is a Sefer on the Parsha, quotes an unbelievable, unbelievable drash on this Pasuk. In Parashat Ches, Pasuk Tezayin of Bereishis, Vayikatz Yaakov, and Yaakov woke up, Mishnaso, from his sleep, Pashenis, to sleep, Vayom, and he said, Achein Ish Hashem B'makam, Ezeva, Nochi Lo Yodati, behold, God is in this place, and I did not know. Look at Achein carefully, Aleph, Chof, Nun, Sofis, and look at the word Anochi. Let's compare these two words, Aleph, Nun, Chof, Yod. Okay. They're the exact same letters except for the yod. Aleph, chaf, nun. Aleph, chaf, nun. And Anochi has a yod. Now, the Gemara tells us that the Kisei HaKavod, remember, Rav Shimshon Pinchas just spoke about the Kisei HaKavod. He said, our world, says Rav Pinchas, is earthly and material. And heaven is a world of Kedusha, Srafim, Ofanim, and Kisei HaKavod. So Chazal tell us, what holds up the Kisei HaKavod? What holds up the throne of God? The throne, a throne has four legs. Okay. A throne like a chair has four legs, and it is held up by four images, one image on each leg. What holds up the Kisei HaKavod? Aryeh, Kruv, Nesher, and the face of Yaakov Avinu, Yisrael. Aryeh, a lion, Kruvim, I can't really translate, the cherubs, they went on top of the Kodesh HaKadosh and the Aron Kodesh. Nesher, which I also can't translate because it's usually translated as eagle, but that's actually a little bit incorrect. It's a very majestic and grand bird. So what holds up the Kisei HaKavod? Aryeh, Kruv, each leg has a different image. Nesher, this is what Chazal tells. And the face of Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov has this unbelievable dream, he has a dream of heaven. He sees the Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever exactly you understand that to mean. I don't know, we can't understand. But clearly he's laying on the ground, but the head of the ladder is reaching heavens. And he sees the angels of God going up and down. And there is God standing upon him, standing above him. And he sees this unbelievable vision. And he wakes up from his sleep and he says, Achein, Yesh Hashem B'makam Hazeh. I always knew, listen carefully, Hashem is in this place. I always knew Achein. Hashem's glory is held up, so to speak, by the grand Aryeh, by the majestic Kruv, by the glorious Nesher. I knew that those elements have the power to hold up the Ribbono Shel Olam. They are a link to the next world, to Kulo Kadosh, to hold up the Kisei HaKavod. Va'anochi? I did not know that I, Yaakov Avinu, also have the power to hold up the glory of God in this world and in the next. Anochi, Aryeh, Nesher, Kruv, Yod, Yaakov. I just saw in my vision, not only do these heavenly Ofanim, Srafim, elements of Aryeh, Kruv, Nesher hold up the Kisei HaKavod Achein. Anochi, is it possible that I, Yaakov Avinu, am also engraved on the Kisei HaKavod? Lo Yadati. This I did not know. Meaning, I didn't know the great heights a human being can ascend. I didn't know it was possible for a human being to reach the highest heights, to leave his earthly existence while he is still on this world, and through a life of Torah and mitzvos, actually become a being that holds up the name of God and the Kisei HaKavod. Again, Vayikatz Yaakov Nishnaso, what did he learn from his dream? He woke up from his dream and he said, Achein? I always knew that the Aryeh, Kruv, and Nesher held up the Kisei HaKavod. They are glorious beings. They are majestic beings. They are the king of the beasts. They hold up the Kisei HaKavod. Va'anochi? But Yaakov Avinu, the extra Yud. Aryeh, Nesher, Kruv, Yud for Yaakov. I also, a mere mortal, have the power to hold up the name of God in this world? Lo Yadati. This, I did not know. What did he learn from the dream? That not only do the heavenly bodies and majestic beings hold up the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but a mere mortal can reach the highest heights. He can span from earth to heaven. He can make the greatest life of Kiddush Hashem. And a mere mortal, the Yud of Yaakov, the Yud of Yisrael, we are all the Bnei Yisrael. Every human being, every Jew, every Eved Hashem has the capability to span two worlds, to be a bridge that connects Chol to Kodesh, Gashmias to Ruchnias, Eretz to Shamayim. Achein Yesh Hashem B'makam Hazeh, Va'anochi Lo Yadati. And it's such a message of Chizuk. It should be a message of Chizuk. Not only does the Ikvus of the Mashiach connect two different realms of existence, and not only does the Beis HaMikdash connect two different realms, and not only does the ladder of the dream connect two different realms, and not only does Shabbos connect two different realms, but each and every one of us, as the Bnei Yisra, Bnos Yisra, the image of Yaakov Avinu is also on the Kiseh HaKavod, representing the fact that a mere mortal can change himself, can reach such high heights that he too can be a link between two worlds. Achein, Aryeh Kruv Nesher, of course they hold up the Kiseh HaKavod. Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi, I too, my face, the Yod of Yaakov Yisrael is also on the Kiseh HaKavod. Lo yadati. Going back to Rav Shimshon Pinkas, Yaakov slept at the future side of the Beis HaMikdash. He dreamed of a ladder. Behold, a ladder is standing on the ground, and the head reaches to the heavens. This ladder was the Beis HaMikdash. Part of it was in heaven, and part of it was on earth. It linked two worlds. This is what the Beis HaMikdash does. It allows the heavenly world to enter our earthly world, and vice versa, of course, for a week from Pesach. It would be, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, those who lived far away from Yerushalayim, the north, the south, they were already traveling. They purified themselves. That's where we read Parshas Parah. Before Chodesh Nisan, to remind ourselves that anyone who was Tamei the Mace or Tamei during the time of temple times had to be purified before they could start their trek to the Be'olah LeRegel, to the Beis HaMikdash. Parshas Parah deals with it from Parshas Achrimos, Perek Yod Tes of Bamidbar. No, Vayikra. We're coming up to Achrimos after Yavim Tovim. I'm totally saying it wrong. It's not Achrimos. It's Parshas Chukas in Sefer Bamidbar, and it's Perek Yotas, and it's Parah Aduma. And why do we read that before Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Because we have to remind ourselves that anyone who was Tamei the Mace had to be sprinkled with the cleansing waters of the Parah Aduma so they could be Olah LeRegel. So here we are 1 week away, and it would be that we would already be journeying. You can't get to Yerushalayim in one day or in a few hours on the light rail or the fast train in temple times. You had to walk there. You had to load up your donkey and your oxen and your cart and your family and your bikurim, and you had to do the big trek to the Beis HaMikdash. And what was the Beis HaMikdash? A place that linked, and you would bring the Korban Pesach that linked two worlds, but a person themselves can link two worlds. It is written regarding the Kohen Gadol, continuing with Rav Pinkas, it is written regarding the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, that when he entered the Kodesh HaKadosh, and no man shall be in the Ohel Moed when he enters to atone in the holy place until he exits. That's from Parshas Achrimos, Perek Tazayin of Vayikra, which we will read after Pesach. It's talking about Parshas Achrimos begins with the Avodas Yom Kippur. Parsha tells you the whole story of the Kohen Gadol's Avodah on Yom Kippur, which does not resemble anything that we do today on Yom Kippur. We just remember the Avodah. We have a totally different structure of Yom Kippur since we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. But that once a year, the Kohen Gadol would enter the Beis HaMikdash. And when he entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and no man shall be in the Ohel Moed when he enters to atone in the holy place until he exits. So no one was allowed to be anywhere in the tent of meeting when the Kohen Gadol entered into Beis HaMikdash Sas Mishkan, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? What was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Was the Aron Kodesh. And what was atop the Aron Kodesh? Two Kruvim. And what dwelled between the two Kruvim in the Aron Kodesh? Kaviyachol, the Ribbono Shel Olam, was Mitzamtzem. God contracted Mitzamtzem himself to dwell between the two Kruvim atop the Aron Kodesh in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And who entered the Holy of Holies? Only the Kohen Gadol. And when did he enter? On Yom Kippurim. And what does the Pasuk say? No man shall be in the Ohel Moed when he, the Kohen Gadol, enters to atone for Kapara until he exits. This verse teaches us, says Rav Pinkas, that no human being was permitted to be anywhere in the vicinity when the Kohen Gadol entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim. At that moment, when the Kohen Gadol went behind the paroches, the partition that separates between the Kodesh, the Holy, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, the glory of heaven would be revealed. No human being was even capable of being there. Even the Kohen Gadol himself was transformed into an angel with a face of fire. That's what Shimshon Pinkas writes. The glory of God was so manifest. The glory of God was so tremendous at that moment. The glory of Hashem, the Shekhinah, was always manifest in the Mishkan and in the first Beis HaMikdash. But going in on the Yom HaKippurim into the holiest space, there's a place today when you go to the Kotel Tanel tours, you know, they take you to a place under the tours and they tell you, there's always a number of older women davening there. They tell you that this place is the closest we could get to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's right opposite the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You walk along the excavated Kotel wall, the excavated part, the underground part. They say, now you're standing closest to Kodesh HaKadoshim. But when he entered, even he could not perceive the vision of God, and he was transformed into some sort of angel of fire, because the power of Hashem from the Kodesh HaKadoshim was so tremendous on that day. You know, it's so interesting how the things that I learn and read relate so much. I just find like such siyata d'shmaya when I'm preparing my shi'urim, because I don't know if anybody saw, there was a special supplement in Mishpacha 2 Shabbos ago to Hasar Torah Hagadol Hadar, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zechor Tzadik Levracha. I don't know if anybody saw the Mishpacha supplement. So the last article in the Mishpacha supplement was by Rav Aaron Lopiansky. Rav Aaron Lopiansky is the Rashiva from Yeshiva Greater Washington. He's also a well-known Mechaber Sfarim and Magid Shir and a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And he's really a prolific author, but also he has a way of writing that is so impactful. And this article that he wrote, a tribute to really Rav Chaim Kanievsky, was so perfectly encapsulates the fact that we cannot access or understand who he was or what he did for us. But he compares Rav Chaim to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And I'm not going to read the whole article because it's lengthy, but I do recommend that you do read the whole article. But he says that there were different spaces in the Heichal. There's the exterior, then there's the Kodesh, and then there's the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And nobody's allowed to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And I'm going to quote an excerpt from this article because it relates to what Shimshon Pinkas was just describing, that the moment the Kohen Gadol went behind the Parochus, the glory of heaven was revealed. So who's allowed behind the partition? Only the Kohen Gadol once a year. Okay, so he goes through the spaces of the holy sanctuary. Finally, again, I'm skipping the whole beginning of the article. Finally, we come to the innermost enclosure, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. It was totally closed off to everyone, inaccessible. Even the Kohen Gadol, so Mamish is what Pinkas is talking about, even the Kohen Gadol, who entered once a year, did so surrounded by a veil of smoke that obscured everything, which I thought was very interesting. When he lit the Ketores and he brought it in with him, the Ketores caused smoke. So Aaron Lopiansky says, even the Kohen Gadol cannot see what was doing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What was there was the Shechina itself. How could a mortal man stand there? How could a mortal man not die before the Shechina? And the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he was given a certain power to survive, and it was a veil of smoke. It obscured everything. Furthermore, no divine service per se was performed in the enclosure of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, except for the Yom Kippur service. That was the only thing that was actually done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That Yom Kippur service cleansed the Kodesh HaKadoshim of any sin that may have affected it. If nobody's allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and even the Kohen Gadol when he goes in is in a veil of smoke, what is the purpose of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Why does it exist? Why does Hashem give us this space? The answer is, the divine can never be tangible to us. At its lowest level of expression, the divine becomes an interaction between man and Kodesh Baruch Hu. However, the true measure of God in this world, so to speak, is a place beyond human interaction, a place beyond human comprehension. The Kodesh HaKadoshim in the Beis HaMikdash Das Mishkan is the place beyond. It's the center of everything. It's from there that the Ribon Shalom voice emanates and speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu. But it itself was beyond access. Chazal expressed this concept when they describe the position of the Aron Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Chazal tells that the poles, the bottom of the Aron Kodesh, they made an indentation in the parochas, in the partition. So if you were standing in the area of the holy, the Kodesh, and you looked at the parochas, the partition, you were not allowed to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but you could see an indentation of the two bottom, the two poles, stuck out, so to speak, into the partition, into the curtain. Hinting to us, they reminded you that in that space is the Aron Kodesh, the Luchos. It nourishes the entire world. The Kodesh HaKadoshim was veiled, completely separate from us, but it was a source of Kedusha for the rest of the Beis HaMikdash. The structure of Klal Yisrael's spiritual sustenance consists of these concentric circles. We have the outer circle, the spiritual leadership. They deal with practical issues of halacha, the challenges of the outside world, the needs, the hopes, the pains, and the sorrow of everyday life. The leaders within the outer circle teach us, guide us, rebuke us, comfort us, and inspire us. They are the outer circle. The innermost circle, the next innermost circle, is those spiritual figures who have a voda that is wholly spiritual. This is a place of Sheva Levi. Today, that is the Bate Medrash of Klal Yisrael. So the leaders are the outer circle guiding the masses. They teach, inspire, issue halacha, rebuke, comfort, and guide us. That represents the outermost circle. The next circle in the concentric circles moving forward represents Shevet Levi. What is Shevet Levi today? The Bate Medrash. those who learn the Torah that emanates in Klal Yisrael. And then there is the innermost enclave, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which Rav Shimshon Pinchas is referring to in a sefer. Those who inhabit this sphere, the innermost holiest circle, the inhabitant of this sphere is the one who nurtures and sustains the other worlds. Yet it is totally removed from the other world. So in other words, we get our sustenance from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but we're never allowed on the Kodesh HaKadoshim. A curtain is eternally spread before the innermost circle. There's a tiny protrusion in that curtain, which sticks out of the parochas, sticks into the parochas. That protrusion simply reminds us that the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the source of it all, even though no one's allowed to enter. We have a reminder that in there is the holiest emanation of the Shechina. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadok Kodesh Levracha, was the Kodesh HaKadoshim of our generation. He lived a life that was totally Torah. The curtain that enveloped Rav Chaim shut out the rest of the world. And his life was an expression of Kedusha that could not even be part of our world. Though his picture was splattered across newspapers and his words were repeated endlessly, he was not part of our world in any way, shape, or form. Just like the Kodesh HaKadoshim is in this world, but removed from us. Almost no one entered his realm or understood him. His speech was terse to the extreme. He never presented his reasoning. In the myriad Sfarim he wrote, there was no expression of self. He had no picture of him, only a laser-like honing in on the emes of Torah. Even his Musar Sfarim don't betray a hint of the person that he was. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented the divine presence to Eliyahu Navi, Shabbos HaGadol, Hine bo yom Hashem HaGadol Hanora, the Hanora is the second to last Pasuk in Sefer Malachi, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Dalad. Hine anochi shaleh hachem es Eliyahu HaNavi. We're going to read it tomorrow. That's why the Shabbos is called Shabbos HaGadol. Lifnei bo yom Hashem HaGadol v'hanura. Before we sit down, since my chereseinu, before we open the door for Eliyahu HaNavi, the Shabbos, this halakha Shabbos is not only Shabbos Kodesh, Shabbos HaGadol. When we read the Avtar from Malachi, it was last of all the Nevi'im. And what were the last words he told us? Hine anochi shaleh hachem es Eliyahu HaNavi. How does Nevi'im end? With words of hope. Behold, I am sending to you Eliyahu HaNavi. Lifnei bo yom Hashem HaGadol v'hanura. He will come one day. V'heishiv leib avos obanim v'leib banim alavosam. We are told that Eliyahu HaNavi will come to reveal the day before Mashiach comes that he is coming. This is what Rav Shimshon Pinchas is talking about in the pages and the Sfarim we're after. He's talking about the Beis HaMikdash. He's talking about the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He's talking about the Ikvus of the Mashiach. That is Shabbos HaGadol. We are in the Ikvus of the Mashiach. We are awaiting the announcement of Eliyahu HaNavi that Mashiach is coming. That's why it's Shabbos HaGadol. Lifnei bo yom Hashem HaGadol v'hanora. Now Kodesh Baruch Hu, continues Rav Aaron Lapiansky, presented the divine presence to Eliyahu HaNavi. He told him, first there would be wind, W-I-N-D. Then there would be a storm. Then there would be a fire. Hashem would not be present in any of these. By the way, this is also from Malachi. Okay, Malachi Perak Aleph. The Haftorah is from Malachi Perak Gimel. There would be a still and barely audible voice. And that would be Hashem's presence. That's what the Navi Malachi tells us. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come. And Hashem told Eliyahu HaNavi, I am not in the fire. I am not in the storm. I am not in the wind, said God. I am in the still, barely audible voice. That's where Hashem is found. The outermost circle around Hashem, says Rav Lapiansky, is a storm of inspiration and rebuke. It shakes a person to the core. The next closer circle around the Kodesh Baruch Hu is fire. It warms and enlightens us. But in the closest proximity to God, there is silence. For those who perceive the sublime cannot express it in ordinary language and words. If you perceive, if you are in the innermost circle, like Rav Chaim Kanievsky was, you can't express in words when you perceive the Ribbono Shel Olam. The words are articulated in a voice too fine for our coarse ears to discern. Rav Chaim lived in that inner circle of silence that Eliyahu Navi saw, that we read about tomorrow, that we await his arrival in this month of Geula. That the whole reason it's called Shabbos God, I know there's some other reasons also, is after the Haftorah of Malachi, that we're going to open the door on Shvoch HaMascha and beseech Eliyahu HaNavi to redeem us all, to take us from the Shabbos HaGadol to the Yom HaGadol V'Hanora. Rav Chaim lived in that inner circle of silence where the Ribbono Shel Olam is found, and his personality embodied it. This makes our ability to mourn his passing so difficult. It's natural to mourn someone who guided us, who comforted us, who taught us, who enlightened us, who touched us personally. How do we mourn someone who is forever veiled in a cloak of invisibility and silence? Just like no one's allowed to enter the Kodesh HaKodashim because no one can touch or understand or perceive the greatness of the Kodesh HaKodashim. No one could touch, perceive, understand, or fathom the greatness of the inner circle. We never heard a shir from him. We never heard a shmooze from him. We never held any conversation at length. Yet he was so much higher, so much more kadosh. How does that touch each of us? The second temple, the second Beis HaMikdash, does not contain the Aron. Yoshiyahu hid it earlier. As a result, other forms of Ruach HaKodesh also disappeared. The fire no longer consumed the sacrifices as cleanly as in earlier times. The Urim V'Tumim did not respond to requests for guidance. The sense of divine presence in the second Beis HaMikdash faded. Even though no one ever saw the Aron Kodesh in the first Beis HaMikdash, no one could enter, no one ever saw. Its absence was obvious during the second temple. With no Aron present in the innermost circle, the light of the outer circles dimmed. Without the generator, the outer conduits of spirituality lost their power. We access Torah, us, the masses, we access Torah and Yiddishkei through the outer circles. We need them. They're Gevalda, they're Geshmak, they're our spiritual fiddlers who guide us, lead us, inspire us, comfort us, teach us, rebuke us. But those are the outer circles. We, Rav Opiansky writes, access Torah and Yiddishkei through the outer circles. We had no direct connection to Rav Chaim. He says, as many times as you saw his picture, as many times as you stood for a few seconds or a few minutes, Ashreichem, if you were lucky, we couldn't even fathom what he was. We had no direct connection to Rav Chaim. No matter how many pictures of him adorn our walls, no matter how many times we may have received the bracha from him, he was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But we fervently believe that all of our generation and everything that we possess came through the conduit of his pure, untainted ruchnius. His presence in the innermost circle supplied all the other circles with divine light. And now, everything has dimmed. We feel it. Our children will feel it as well. Because we can no longer stand with our children, a Rechav Rashbam, next to the paroches. We're always on the other side of the partition. But we were there. We saw the poles sticking, making an indentation on the parochas. We were able to stand on Rechav Rashbam and say, that is where it all emanates from. That's the source of the Kedusha. We can't enter that circle. We can't fathom that circle. We can't be in the presence of the Shechina. But everything we have emanates from there. But now, everything is dimmed. Our children will feel it. We will feel it. We can no longer stand with them on Rechav Rashbam, next to the parochas, pointing at the barely perceptible protrusion of the Badim. We can no longer exclaim, that is where it all emanates from. That's what it means, that the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Gadol alone entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And no one else understood. No one else fathomed. No one else could breach the partition. No one was allowed in, as the Pasuk says in Achrei Mos, which Pinchas quotes, and no man shall even be in the Ohel Moed, when the Kohen Gadol enters to atone in the holy place. This verse teaches, says Rav Pinchas, that no human being was permitted to be anywhere in the vicinity when the Kohen Gadol entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim. For at that moment, when the Kohen Gadol went behind the parochas, the glory of heaven was revealed. No human being was capable of even being there. Even the Kohen Gadol himself was transformed into an angel with a face of fire. What is a link between two worlds? Ikvus of the Mashiach links our world and Yemos HaMashiach, Shabbos HaGadol. Hinei Enochi Sholeich HaChamas Eilu HaNavi Lifnei Boyom HaShem HaGadol VaAnora. Ikvus of the Mashiach links two worlds. The Beis HaMikdash links two worlds. The ladder of Yaakov Avinu links two worlds. Torah links two worlds. Achen and Anochi, every Jew can link two worlds. The Kodesh HaKadoshim linked two worlds. Rav Chaim Kanievsky was an inaccessible but present link between our world and the Ribono Shel Olam. And now we come to the next section, and that's called Shabbos is the link. Shabbos Kodesh as well links our ordinary physical world with the world of Kedusha in heaven. It is our lifeline, Shabbos, It is our connection to Hashem. And through it all comes blessing. Just like the ladder of Yaakov links two worlds and brings blessing, just like the Beis HaMikdash brings blessing, just like the innermost Kodesh HaKadoshim, even though you can't access it, brings blessing, just like Rav Chaim Kanievsky, even though we couldn't understand him, fathom him, touch him, comprehend who he was, he brought us blessing. And every 7 days, we, simple Yidden, regular Jews, who work all week, who are tired by the mundane, who are exhausted from the news, who are busy with the chol, can come to the Kedusha of Shabbos. And Shabbos allows us to link this ordinary physical world with the world of Kedusha in heaven. And so Shabbos is our lifeline. Shabbos is our connection to Hashem. And through Shabbos, quote, comes all brachos, all blessing. Anyone who is severed from Shabbos, in effect, is severed from Hashem. Because Shabbos, like all the other elements we have been discussing, is a link between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not only that we're excited for Shabbos when Shabbos comes. I think Jews of all ages from Torah homes are excited for Shabbos when Shabbos comes. You hear children saying, I love Shabbos, I can't wait for Shabbos. It's not only because of the tasty delicacies that we prepare, and it's not only because on a long Shabbos afternoon you could take a walk when it's outside and beautiful, but the neshama senses that the neshama Yisera is coming, and you sense that Kedusha is coming. And Jews of all ages and stages and locations sense that the Ribbono Shel Olam is coming to our house, and Shabbos gives us access to that in a world that is so bereft of access to the Ribbono Shel Olam, in a world that is so dim, says Rav Aaron Lopiansky, in an existence that is so confusing, in a realm that we cannot penetrate normally. Shabbos is a ladder that gives us access to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Shabbos Kodesh. When we sanctify Shabbos, we begin with Kiddush, Friday night. When we sanctify the Shabbos through that Kos of Kedusha, Kiddush, Kos of Kedusha, we are able to enter an entirely new realm. I want to quote from the, to tie it further into Inyani Diyoma. We already spoke about Shabbos Haggadah, based on the vision that Eliyahu Navi saw. I want to quote from Rav Chaim Kanievsky Haggadah into the Kiddush of Leil HaSeder. Next Friday night, Be'ezrat Hashem, will not only be the Kiddush of Shabbos, it will also be the Kiddush of Pesach. It's the first of the Arba Kosas. We will be Mekadesh Lizman. Shabbos is Mekadesh. We will be Kadesh Lizman through the Kiddush of the first of the Arba Kosas. Okay, so I'm quoting from the Rav Chaim Kanievsky Haggadah. A person is not required to drink the entire cup of wine for the four cups. It is enough if he drinks most of the cup. Nevertheless, for the first cup, it's written in the present tense. This was published pre his patira. Rav Chaim is careful to drink the entire cup, even though normally it's enough to drink rov kos. By the first kos, he drinks the whole cup. Why? He explains such was the custom of the Chazon Ish Zatzal for the following reason. A person is required to say Kiddush right before the meal. We call that Kiddush b'makom su'uda. Okay, you have to have Kiddush right before the meal. If he does not eat a meal or a significant amount of food immediately after Kiddush, then you're not Yotze Kiddush. So let's say you hear Kiddush, okay? You have to be careful with this. You're out in Shul and somebody makes Kiddush on scotch, which is its own Shaila in the first place. You make Kiddush and you're not Yotze the Kiddush. You didn't eat Mizonos. You don't eat something. You don't wash. You just heard the Kiddush. You're not Yotze Kiddush. It's a problem. And you come home and you want to eat something, so ask your Rav, but that's a problem, okay? You have to hear Kiddush and then you have to be Yotze the Kiddush. That's either by eating a significant piece of Mizonos or a significant amount of food. But what if you don't? So Rav Chaim, how does he pass on? You have to drink the whole kos by the first of the Arba Kosos because you need Kiddush b'makom Suda. But you're not actually getting up to the Suda of Shulchan Arech at least till an hour and a half later. So how are you going to be Yotze your Kiddush? You heard Kiddush, but if you don't drink the Rov kos, so when it comes time for the Suda, you don't have Kiddush b'makom Suda. But on Leil Seder, we don't make Kiddush again. So in order to ensure that you were Yotze Kiddush, you have to drink the full measure of wine right away. You're not having a Mizonos. You're not washing. So how are you going to be Yotze the Kiddush? When you come up to time for Shulchan Aruch, you weren't really Yotze Kiddush. So what should you do? What you should do is, if you drink the full measure of the wine, if you drink the Revis right away, Kiddush is considered a meal. Now, because it's Friday night, the shear for the kos is also larger than the regular share of the Arba Kosos, so make sure you consult with your Rav for how much is a Revius. I remember this from past years. When the Seder falls on Friday night, Rav Moshe Feinstein holds that the Kos for Kiddush on Friday night is larger than the Kos of Revius for the Arba Kosos. So since next week is not only Leil Seder, but it's also Shabbos, you have to make sure you have enough wine to be able to your Kiddush Friday night. The first cup of wine at the Seder is for Kiddush. However, we wait a considerable amount of time after the cup before we begin the meal. So you have to make sure, says Rav Chaim, to drink a full measure of wine from Kiddush. That's considered your su'uda. Then when you come to Shulchan Aruch, you don't have a problem. But if you go to Shul Shabbos morning, you hear someone make Kiddush, and you're not Yotze, you don't eat a significant meal, you don't eat a piece of mezuzah, you don't drink the wine, so then you have a problem when you come home, and your husband or your father or the man in the house says, did you have Kiddush? And you say, yes, you didn't really have Kiddush. You have to be very careful before you eat. Rav Chaim adds, one may be lenient in this regard, because the Haggadah is not considered an interruption between Kiddush and the meal. Interestingly, if you're saying the Haggadah, now he adds a different Kiddush. However, the Haggadah can be considered a continuation of Kiddush b'makom suda, since we're required to say Haggadah before we eat the matzah. The entire Haggadah is necessary for the meal. So in other words, Haggadah is considered part of the meal. However, there may be interruptions. For example, people leave the room, or they talk about unrelated topics during the Haggadah. So therefore, if Rav Chaim says you're drinking the cup of wine, and then you have Haggadah, and then you go straight to Shulchan Aruch, so that is technically Kiddush b'makom suda, because Haggadah is, to paraphrase the beginning of our shir, a link between Kiddush and Shulchan Aruch, or between Kiddush and Motzi Matzah. But there are often interruptions. You have to leave the meal, tend to a child or a grandchild, talk about things that are not necessarily only Haggadah based, and then you're going to have the problem again of it not being Kiddush b'makom suda. So we conclude it's best to drink a full measure of wine from the first cup to ensure that Kiddush is considered part of your meal and your yotze. That comes from Kovetz Madrich Pesach. We drink 4 cups of wine on Seder night. Next week will be the first one, will also be Kiddush for Shabbos, to commemorate the 4 expressions Hashem used when telling the Jews about their redemption. These 4 expressions, and we know this, Rav Chaim is going to explain how each of the Arba Lashonos Geula refers to a different stage in the redemption of Egypt. This is something I have not seen anywhere else. Vautseisi aschem mitachos sivlis Mitzrayim, which is the first cup, which is Leil Kiddush. I shall take you out from under the burden of Egypt. This is the first stage of redemption. Rav Chaim teaches that after the first 5 makos, dam tzvadei kinim arav dever, the Jews were able to cease their work. Interesting. After the first 5 makos, then they were able to cease their slave labor. Although they were still slaves, and they were still under the service of the Egyptians were so tortured by the first 5 plagues, at this point they stopped forcing the Jews to work. And therefore, Vautseis Eschemitachos Sivlos Mitzrayim, the first cup corresponds to being removed from the burden of slave labor. Second coast, which is the coast of Magid, Itzalti Eschem Me'avodasam, I shall rescue from their service. During Malchus Bechoros, Paro announced to the Jews they were free to leave Egypt. The service to the Egyptians officially ended. That corresponds to the Hitzalti Eschem Me'avodasam, and that is the cup of Magid. Next, which is the cup of Berkos HaMazon, the Ga'alti Eschem Bezrona Tuyu B'Shvatim Gedolim, I will redeem you, Ge'ula, which is what we're waiting for from this terrible galus. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and great judgments. The Jews left Egypt in full view of their former masters. That's the Ga'alti. They didn't sneak out at night. They didn't have to rush. It wasn't in secret that the Ge'ula came in full view of their former masters. Halavai, our oppressive nations that enslave us today should see us leaving in full view with the kibbutz galios. They were led by Hashem with a miraculous fashion. And finally, the fourth cup, which is the cup of Halal, the Kachti Eschem Lila Am, Hashem gave the Jews the Torah, changing their role from servants of Paro to servants of Hashem. The fourth cup, over which we recite Halal, corresponds to Matan Torah. For that, truly, there is reason to sing Shevach. Remember, we said that just like Shabbos, just like the Beis HaMikdash, just like the ladder, just like Rav Chaim Kanievsky, just like every face of Yisrael engraved on the Kisei HaKavod, just like Ikvus of the Mashiach links 2 worlds, Torah HaKadosha also links 2 worlds. And that's the fourth cup. That's V'lokachti. Rav Chaim asks an interesting kasha. Why do we not recite a special blessing on the mitzvah of drinking the Arba Kosos, as we do for most mitzvahs? For example, you make a hagafen, we make a blessing on wine, hagafen, but you don't make a special mitzvah. We make a mitzvah on Mikra Megillah, we make a mitzvah on the Hadlik Ner Shel Chanukah. Why don't we make a mitzvah, I don't know, Sher Gushan Misosu Vitzivanu, al Arba Kosos, Belel Seder? We make the hagafen to drink the wine, but why don't we make the bracha on drinking the Arba Kosos? You're fulfilling the mitzvah of the Arba Kosos. Why not? Furthermore, we make a special bracha on matzah, al achilas matzah, and then a motzi. We make a special bracha on maror, al achilas maror, and we made the hadam on the karpas with a mind for the maror. So you make the bracha for the mitzvah and for eating the food. But when it comes to the arba kosos, you make a bracha on eating the food, or in this case, drinking the wine, but why don't we make a bracha on the mitzvah itself? Rav Chaim answers as follows. And we'll end with this. Although the arba kosos are a single mitzvah, so technically you would think we should make a bracha, we drink each of them to serve a different purpose, so they don't fall under one umbrella. The first cup serves as the cup of Kiddush. The second cup is the cup of wine upon which we say the Haggadah, the Magid. We discuss the actual Exodus. The third cup, we recite Birkas HaMazon. And the fourth cup, upon which we say Halal. Since, Rav Chaim says, each cup serves a different purpose, it would not be appropriate to make a single blessing on all four cups, because even though it's one mitzvah of Arba Kosos, each cup is actually enhancing or corresponding to a different mitzvah. Kiddush, it's all mitzvah. Leil Shabbos and Leil Haggadah. Leil Seder. Then the mitzvah of Magid. B'chol dor v'dor chayv Adam, how do we fulfill the osas atzmo v'hi gadat al bincha? The next cup is the cup of the mitzvah Birkas HaMazon, v'echalta v'savatu v'erachlus Hashem Elokecha. And the next cup is the cup of l'kroas ha-halal. So since the Arba Kosos, says Rav Chaim, each correspond to a different mitzvah, don't make one general mitzvah, only the mitzvah of Hagafen. So b'ezrat Hashem, this Pesach, we should be zochet to link two worlds. We should be zochet to link the world of Gashmias, of Chol, of Galus, should truly be the final link, the link with Kedusha, with Shamayim, with the Geula Asida. We should be zochet to see come to fruition. Hinei Anochi Sholeach Hachem Es Eliyahu Anavi, Lifnei Bo Yam Hashem HaGadol VeHanora, when the Beis HaMikdash, which serves as the link between Eretz and Shamayim, will be rebuilt b'mheira b'yameinu, and we will all be zocha to have the Shechina back amongst us with Bias Goel Tzedek. I wish you a meaningful and uplifting Shabbos HaGadol HaKadosh. I thank you so much. Be'ezrat Hashem, there's no share next time. So I think I said the date is we resume. If you weren't here in the beginning, we missed next class because it's Yontif. So our next year following our every other week schedule is May the 6th. Thank you to our anonymous sponsor. Have a wonderful Shabbos Kol Tov and a meaningful, uplifting Chag Kasher V'Sameach. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol Tov.